And welcome everybody to Live at the Hive Digital Marketing from the Trenches, episode 216.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. We did it. I'm like so stoked by the music. I'm Stacey DeSantis, by the way.
I'm Sachi Thugadikar.
All right. And today we are talking about the future of digital advertising with news that's so fresh off of the presses. Don't touch it. You're going to burn your hands. This is an incredibly hot topic right now in the world of digital marketing, digital advertising. A lot of privacy changes that have frankly come about, you know, in large part, I would say, due to the 2016 U.S. presidential election. That was really the canister of gasoline that started the fires happening, which leads us to, you know, 6 years later where we are today. In terms of the use, we're going to talk specifically today about third-party cookies, their future or lack thereof a future, more lack thereof a future, like they're going away. And we'll make a distinction between first-party cookies and third-party cookies. You need to understand that. Like, not all cookies are going away, going bye-bye, just the third-party ones. Some of the customer engagement platforms, they have all sorts, CDP, customer data platform. There's like four different acronyms for the same thing. And what that means and how you can create first-party data. We're going to talk about some of the new tools and features that Google and Facebook are introducing to allow you to track, but in a better way. So those are both of their privacy sandboxes. And we're going to talk about some strategies that you can use today to get ahead of the game so that you're not left holding the bag. And Sachita obviously handles a lot of our traffic campaigns. We'll be talking about specifically Facebook. So the question is, if you're sitting there going, wow, my Facebook campaigns have really gotten more expensive and I'm not getting the reach I used to get and my audiences seem to be shrinking, we have answers for you. We have explanations, we have answers.
Solutions.
Highlight. Potentials, yeah, there's solutions. You can't just, I think the biggest thing, I really feel like one of the big points about this whole thing is Facebook and Google made businesses, marketers, and advertisers really lazy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It was really easy to jump in there to create a campaign. It had a high match rate, and we'll explain what that is, an audience with a really high match rate that had a really great number when you created a lookalike audience, and we'll talk about different types of audiences as well. And, you know, for years and years, people just rode on those coattails of very low CPMs, right? High ROI, high ROAS. And you know, it just got, I really think it got people really lazy about what data collection should mean for a business and why it should be a priority for your business to invest in the valuable customer data that exists. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And when Dan's talking cookies, he's not talking about like Oreo versus digestive cookies. Like, it's like, you know. It's Friday. What?
Yeah, it's Friday. All right. So, Sachita, I'll let you just do a quick rundown here of what it is we are actually going to be talking about. I'll just keep this up for you.
Yeah, for sure. So like Dan mentioned, we are going to talk about the rise of first-party data, how it's going to affect our digital advertising strategies, how it has already affected some of our social platforms, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, and what are they doing to kind of adjust to the iOS updates. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And we'll also be talking about a little bit where she's some of Stacey's wheelhouse too, is the importance that content is going to create when you're using events on a platform like Facebook. And you know, we've used this strategy over the years very effectively. It is not a cute strategy. I think some businesses, when they hear us talk about this, like, oh, that little social video is so cute. That little 45-second social video that reaches hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people, it can be a bedrock in you maintaining and building your audiences. Cool.
100%. You know, a lot of people, I think that's one of the pieces they question when it comes to social media, like, why am I producing these little videos and such? And why are we trying all these different tactics? And it's because it's kind of like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come, you know, and we'll spend a lot of time building like authentic content that really speaks to the brand. And then my partner in crime, Sachita, will take it and she'll knock it out of the park and make sure we get eyeballs on it, right? So today we're going to really dive into how you can maintain that, especially with all these new privacy restrictions and such.
Yeah, so let's just take a little step back here, and I'm going to restart that share. Oops. And we're going to talk about where this started first. I think it's important to say, you know, where did we start and where are we going? Hello, Yvonne, Pippa, Brandon, Yagna, everybody. Welcome. If you are new here, please hit that like, hit that subscribe. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd appreciate the subscribe on whatever platform you choose. And feel free to ask any questions. That's what we're here for, and that is one of our goals. Okay, so just starting out, like, where did this start? And like I said, I really do, this is, you know, somewhat unscientific, not that the conversation hadn't been there, but I think the 2016 U.S. presidential election really blew the lid off of this in terms of what the Trump campaign had done using really advanced targeting details, additional data from Facebook to super micro target people in various parts of the US with these insane A/B tests. Like, for example, well, they're multivariate tests, but just give you an example. So people that lived in the Midwest that maybe were Republican but didn't like Donald Trump specifically, right? Well, they were delivered ads that didn't show Donald Trump but had a strong Republican message, right? In areas where Donald Trump was popular, they would use images and video of Trump. Like, they did this literally down to a DMA, a direct marketing association level. So that's a very specific way to deliver content. But they were hyper-targeting people and with the compliance of Facebook. And that really blew things up and started this conversation.
Definitely was the catalyst, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, because before that, everybody was like, I don't think they really understood the true power behind it, and they were actually able to leverage that to win the election, one would argue.
It played a huge part, right? Mm-hmm. And what it really started talking about, and that started getting people talking about, you know, what are these platforms? How are they able to target? How are they able to target us, and what data and information do they have? Right, so that kind of kicked it all off, and then since that time, third-party cookies have been, which is what this technology applies to. It's important to understand what a third-party cookie is, and a third-party cookie is if someone visits your website and you have cookies enabled, like you've got a Shopify store, you've got cookies enabled, right? Mm-hmm. That's called a first-party cookie. That's okay. That's your website to a visitor that has visited your site, and that's also called first-party data, right? Third-party data is when you go into a Facebook Business Manager, and what we do is create what are called audiences, right? And I'm just going to flip over here if I can find my right tab in the whole
mess of my tabs. Dan and his tabs.
Yeah, always going. It's not here. Where did it go? Let me just. I will get there in a second. So the third-party data exists on the Google Ads platform, the Microsoft Ads platform, Facebook, where you can go in, upload data, and you create audiences. And you see this all the time where, you know, we'll create interest audiences. People are interested in this topic and this demographic, and they follow this page, and they have these other interests. Well, what's happening underneath the surface there is Facebook and Google and Microsoft, all of them, TikTok, they're aggregating data from several. We don't know how many. I know it's in the hundreds because they won't tell us. But they will match up your data with credit info, with mortgage info, with all sorts of stuff and give you an interface as an advertiser to target those audiences. Well, that's what the issue is. Okay, and just to talk very quickly about audiences, and Sashita, if I'm kind of throwing this out at you, but do you want to talk to these three type, core, custom, and lookalikes?
Yeah, for sure. So the first one is the core ones. The core core audience type is that is directly available to you, like demographics, the interest groups, the detailed targeting, basically. The custom is something that you can go in and create, like people who in the past have interacted or engaged with your Facebook page, your Instagram account, or have visited your website. Mm-hmm. And a lookalike is basically who audiences that have been created using your previous, like maybe a customer list or people who have visited your website. So Facebook tries to match certain characteristics of these audience and tries to create a lookalike. So certain attributes that are matched that would help you create what is called a lookalike audience.
Yes, and those lookalike audiences have what are called expansion features. So you can start out with a smaller audience. You may have 75,000 matches between interactions on your Facebook page, interactions on your website, interactions throughout your email, for example, like whatever. There's lots of different things. Interactions watching a video, for example. Okay, and when we put it into a lookalike audience, it provides an expansion. You can then increase that audience size where the platform will find similar individuals to your core or custom audience. And that is really has been a major strategy amongst advertisers to really grow that reach to a qualified audience. And so a couple of issues that have come up recently, so, you know, this is at the core of this, and this is all driven by third-party data, third-party cookies, all of these things happening along those lines. So where it started was Apple announcing app tracking transparency back in early 2021. So just about a year ago, but they had talked about it for a bit before that. And effectively, if you have got an iOS device, you probably have seen this now at this point. But what this did was it cut the legs out, mainly because one, I don't think anybody says yes to this, just the way, do you want to allow Foodie to track your activity across other companies' apps and websites? By and large, the answer is no. And the confirmation, I think Facebook said 90% or Apple saying 90% of people are not allowing it.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
It's also, I mean, it's just the phrasing of it.
Right? Yeah, right.
So, but it is what it is. So at that point now, you're frozen out, right? So your audiences can no longer track anything on iOS devices. And that's really starting to take a hit on the sizes of the matches. And that's the core to the audience, right? So that your matches are going down substantially. So Sachita, I don't know, like, do you have any examples of an audience size and what's happened to it? Like, what's the shrinkage on that?
Yeah, for sure. Recently, I've been, so when you're setting up audiences on Facebook or you're setting up campaigns, you get an estimated audience size depending on what you have targeted. So recently, yes, I've been getting errors from Facebook that you may not get the number of leads because the audience sizes are very small. And basically, it was the same targeting that I used before for this, like, and we got pretty good results. But now the size is small, and the estimate of leads is again very small because you're going to reach fewer people. Mm-hmm. And also with this, our conversion tracking is also getting affected. People who have opted out of not getting tracked on iOS is basically, you won't be able to get that data from iOS devices. And that's why I think conversion tracking has also dropped, like I must say, like 15 to 20%, which is again, it's not accurate. Mm-hmm. It's just people may be downloading certain apps on iOS, but you're just not getting that data back.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm just running my Facebook. It's really rude of me on a live stream to like look down and be on my phone. There we go. But yeah, so what's going to happen in this cookie-less world is you've got to take a first part. The first thing I would say on this, and we're going to kind of jump around a little bit, but this is a very important component here, is businesses need to focus, businesses large and small, need to focus on first party data, okay? So what that means is you have various sources of data in any business. You've got a website, maybe you've got a mobile app, you've got your social platforms and your social channels, right? And that first party data strategy is saying, and you've got a CRM, I hope, right? To track your customers, to track their sales, to track their activity. So you should have this wealth of data. And if you're an e-commerce, you'll have a point of sale. If you're Shopify store, you've got your shopping data. If you're in B2B and services, you've got your leads database that hopefully you're investing in. And the concept here is taking on a first party data strategy that says, we are now going to be our own Apple, our own Facebook. We are going to collect that data. It's going to be managed properly, and we're going to integrate it all together and then be able to push that back out into, say, a Facebook or a Google or a Microsoft platform. And by making that investment, you're going to be somewhat more immune to this problem and this issue because you're collecting, and you will be able to match data. You just have to do it in a different way.
So. Yeah, I think point number two also on that side, offer value in exchange for data is, don't make the mistake of asking people to like just sign up for a newsletter. This is just a quick sidebar tip. Mm-hmm. Try to like offer them something of key value. Maybe it's like a lead magnet, a tips and tricks type of thing. But another thing you could do is maybe on your website or through your email marketing campaigns or even on social, you can say, do you want regular updates on how to fix this? And, you know, or you offer that real key piece of value in your copy when you're mm-hmm. asking people for that, and you're more likely to get more first party data like emails and such that you can use towards these efforts just by making a switch like that, because nobody wants, they're like, oh, another newsletter, like offer them something of real value, right?
Yeah, and so. I think it's important, and it needs to be said that every business, right, has this data. The question is whether you're using it, whether it's in your own mm-hmm. custom CRM, whether it's in Salesforce or Pipedrive or Odoo, whatever it might be. If you've got a Shopify store, for example, you've got all of that shopping data is first party data. It's extremely valuable, but you're probably not leveraging that over into your audiences for advertising and expansion. So, you know, when we talk about first party data, I think it's important that we talk about what this thing actually looks like, and I'll see if I can find my head.
Yeah, I agree, because I think it's like, you know, when sometimes we have people come to us and they're like, oh, I don't know how you're going to build any content out of this. It's the same type of thing. A lot of people are like, oh, I don't have first party data, but they actually probably said quite a bit of it, right?
Oh, so of course they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there's a couple. Depending on your budget, and your mileage may vary. To some greater or lesser degree, segment.com, I would say, is one of the leaders for sure in the customer data platform industry. You can set up a free account. The free account obviously has limited data sources, but here's the basic concept, and this is how it works, and they do a good job of explaining this. So if I can find the right diagram here. It's effectively, there it is, effectively pulling in, and we'll use mobile app, website, potentially data warehouse, but you could use a CRM in here. You mm-hmm. could have your Shopify store on this left-hand side. We put it into the platform. You connect it all up. It's just a series of connections. And then you're able to push that information, like add to cart, view to page. These are just simple examples. Into your Google Ads Manager. You could push it into Salesforce to add and enrich your customer data in one place that, hey, you know what? We've got one customer that is interacting on our website, downloading things they've purchased. If you've got a Shopify store, they've purchased, but you know, they haven't purchased in the last 45 days, and you can create intelligent sequences to re-engage with those people. You could push that into like I said, Google Analytics, so you can see Google Ads here, Facebook Business Manager would be another one. But this is the tool that you would use to be able to manage your first party data. And that's how it works, right? You take all these sources and destinations where you can push it back out. When you start combining that, then you start to see really huge results in your digital advertising. This is what's going to have to happen in order for companies to be successful, because your reliance on third-party data is going to significantly continue to decrease.
Exactly.
Ooh, that was a mouthful.
I don't know how you do it.
All right, so that is segment.com, another one that we use quite frequently. And again, your mileage may vary. It depends on budget. It depends on what you're looking at. LiveRamp is a very good. LiveRamp will do all sorts of fun things. Now, the important thing here is that, so LiveRamp, for example, in order to create audiences on the Microsoft advertising platform, so what people would refer to as Bing, in order to do that, you have to use a tool like LiveRamp, because it does what's called hashing customer lists. So if you had your customer list from Salesforce, for example, and you've got 10,000 leads and customers in there, Microsoft won't allow you to update raw customer data. It has to be what's called hashed for privacy purposes, and LiveRamp is a tool that will do that. Okay, but again, it's a very similar process to what Segment is offering. So you know, you can personalize based on people's activity by pulling all that data into one centralized hub. Think of it like Grand Central Station, right? All the trains coming in and trains going out. That's really what it is. And these businesses are privacy first, okay? So where Facebook, and somehow I don't know how Google escapes this, but they consistently do. But the data that Facebook has is minuscule, I think, compared to Google, right? Like Google has the largest database in the world by far, with the point to which the US government has had to request data from Google in various lawsuits and various issues that they have had. And quite often Google says no, but who knows?
Yeah.
Wow. But these are two tools, LiveRamp, segment.com, two great tools for you to start building your first party data, right? And see, you can see there, they just had the renaissance of digital advertising. So everyone's saying that this is gonna die and it's all over. It's not even by a long shot and not even close. Okay, so maybe we can just jump in here. Okay, so yes, the big news today, to be honest with you, is like literally, this came up. Well, I guess it got released, yeah. So quietly, Google introduced the Privacy Sandbox on Android. So what is that? That is precisely what Apple has just done. This is Google's equivalent to iOS 14.5 on Android. And so guess what? Third-party cookie tracking data on what is arguably the largest software platform, right? Android is bigger than Apple in use across, because there's several, like dozens if not hundreds of companies that have mobile devices worldwide on Android.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing is happening here. And third-party cookies. So if you just continue down the path where we're starting to see changes on Facebook, for example, and on Google, you're going to see those audiences shrink. You're going to see no more tracking. And then if you're not prepared, what's going to happen is you're going to have completely untargeted advertising. And, you know, nobody wants that. That never works out well for anybody. Okay. So that is the big news, that the Android operating system is going to introduce ATT-style tracking and blocking exactly the same way that that Apple and iOS have already done.
Yeah, so, I suppose it was just a matter of time, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, just a matter of time. Okay, so we talked a little bit about customer data platforms and audience management. I think one of the things that we can talk about now are these, because I just had it up, was the Privacy Sandbox. And this is an interesting thing. And this kind of proves the point of the future not being, like, the I think what it comes down to is the technology is shifting. The use of the third-party cookie is going away. That doesn't mean that the industry, for obvious reasons, the industry is not saying digital advertising is dead, nor is it saying personalization is dead, right? You know, one of the ironies is all of the people that complain about targeted advertising. And I'll be honest, I don't mind targeted advertising. To me, that's good.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of nice when it's customized to what you're probably looking for already.
Mm-hmm. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, yeah.
So what these privacy sandboxes are, protecting your privacy, so this is privacysandbox.com. This is the Google version here. So basically what it is, they have a number of goals, but obviously consumer data protection is a top priority, and it is really important. But what's going to happen is there are new technologies being introduced to replace, I mean, I'll be honest with you, one of the first things I learned in computer science in the 90s when I was in school was like, what is a cookie? It's a text file. It's a literal text file that gets written into your browser with little fields that have data in it. Like, it's pretty simple. This is like cookie technology is not super complicated.
When you started high school, did you have to take a typing class?
I sure did.
Me too. And it boggles my mind.
We actually had typing class on like the old school. Like you had to slam.
Yes, me too.
They weren't even electric at that time. Anyways.
Yeah, sorry.
I've kept up with technology. Time is not my friend.
You brought me back. I had to ask, yeah. You know.
So the goals of the privacy sandbox, and this is where as advertisers, marketers, business people, you need to have some amount of knowledge or have someone you can turn to, is one, consumer data privacy, right? Like that's very important. And right or wrong, and whatever Apple's motivations were, because I don't believe that Apple's motivations were 100% white knight holistic, like we're here to save you. No.
No.
This is a pitch battle between Apple and Facebook and dominance and revenue. And Apple just, played a pretty tough Uno reverse card on Facebook by introducing this. And, you know, they're pretty brutal. I'll put it that way. Apple's not this beautiful, you know, little dove sitting out there saying we're protecting your privacy. They're like, we want to own our markets and we don't want you to track on our stuff. Okay. Having said that, all of these companies want to give publishers and developers of apps and businesses the ability to track in a way that does protect the privacy and the personal information of the people being tracked. Okay, so third-party data cookies are going to be replaced by better, stronger technology that will anonymize you, but give the ability in some way for an advertiser to target that advertising to you. And that is the future of these platforms, right? So one of the technologies that I'll talk about briefly without going into too much is what's called a PPID, Publisher Provided Identifier. Literally what a cookie does is it drops some information in a text file that goes into your browser, right? Well, a PPID is really just saying, hey, look, like here's one of the benefits of tracking is if you're, at least I hope, if your agency or your ads, frequency capping, right? So frequency capping says things like if someone's seen this more than 8 times, I don't want to show this to them again. I want to show them something else, right? So it reduces repetitive advertising that someone may see, which can get super annoying. Would also do things like say, hey, once I purchase a product, I don't want to see the remarketing ad for said product, right? Which is wasteful on all sides. These kinds of things are enabled by that tracking, cross-screen frequency capping, right? So what PPIDs do is it gives the ability for some persistent identifier that's anonymous, like just a hash thing, that says, hey, you know what you want to do is we want to be able to track, but we only need to know that this anonymous individual has seen something X number of times. So we need an ID for it, right? We just need some way to track them. And that's what PPIDs do. So ultimately the same outcome with better data privacy for the consumer. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's nice that they have that option, because we were kind of huddling before the show and you made a really good point. He's like, they still want advertisers. They still want the revenue. They just have to figure out how to balance that with all these new privacy restrictions that, you know, that was kind of a call after the election, right? It was a call to arms, like, we need more privacy protection. Okay, we're going to give that to you now. How are we going to accommodate so that way we're still getting that advertising revenue?
Yeah. And so, you know, like in that article I just had up there, they're using like Hulu, but you could use Netflix as an example. They would use a PPID to make sure that you don't see one ad too many times, degrading user experiences, making things like it was back in the early 2000s, like Punch the Monkey and these terrible ads that were everywhere.
Oh, I remember those.
Right? And so the outcome of all of these things is really strong. So first thing you need to do as a business is consider using something like segment.com. It doesn't come in too expensively. It's a great way to start. Take your first party data very seriously. And one of the things I think where especially companies in the B2B space do not take their lead and customer data very seriously, and they really need to, because you unlock a whole wealth of information that allows you to create these highly personalized experiences through a combination of organic and advertising, actually creates a strong and positive user experience, right? I wouldn't honestly, if you were to say, hey, there's not going to be any personalization out anywhere, it would be the internet of like 2005.
Right? Yeah.
You'd just be reading billboards, effectively. All right. That is my little soapbox. I'm pretty sure we're good to go. I'm going to kick this one over. So in addition to some of these tools, these are like third-party tools and tactics and techniques you can use to bring all your data together, Google and Facebook, I will make one more point. Here's a couple of reasons why Facebook's going to get more challenging and you need to pay attention. So the attribution window, it's called, that used to be in an audience, used to be 180 days. So I'll use an example. If I created a video and Dan watched the whole video, I could be in an attribution audience for 180 days, which means I could get remarketing audiences, I could get different campaigns and things happen. That is now 7 days, okay? So your audience grows and shrinks, and now it's shrinking really quick, right? Where we used to be able to persistently show that data. That's the first problem. The second problem is that match accuracy has gone down by like a 30 to 40% at least, right? Because there's no more iOS data. So when you create an audience that might have had 1 million people before, now you're seeing 500 to 600,000. Facebook's just not able to match that, okay? That's the second issue. The third issue on Facebook is not only is the match data smaller, but what that means is Facebook's algorithms and AI have to enter a learning phase, which is the AI trying to create the matches and find the people. That's now taking longer, okay? Because it's a slower process. And some result is when your campaigns are in the learning phase, you're paying Facebook to match at a higher rate in order to learn. So costs are going up because of that. CPMs are going up, reach is going down. Learning and engagement, learning and phases for campaigns are taking longer, right? So this is all the stuff we're combating. That's the end sum result. Whew, this is a mouthful today. It's all gear-heady, isn't it? But I will kick this over to Sachita. On the side of the platforms, new features are being released specifically on Google. Facebook is also adding new features. They're creating different types of formats and different ways to reach these audiences in new ways. And that's really what the core of what we're talking about is today. So Sachita, I will kick this over to you and share.
Sure. So we can start with what Google has added. So Google has been replacing and updating a few campaign types. It has currently, from April onwards, it's going to completely get rid of smart shopping and local campaigns. And they have already introduced the Performance Max campaign. I think this campaign is very interesting because with just like one campaign type, you can place your ads on different placements, different kinds of Google inventories like YouTube, Google Audience Network, Google Maps, and search. And display as well. So yeah, with this, I think machine learning and AI is playing an important role. And this campaign particularly is mostly automated. There's very less control as an advertiser you have over it. But yeah, I think just by having a single campaign and being able to reach your audiences on all of these platforms is great. That's for Google.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the another piece of advice I would give, because you do have less controls directly, but you can see the results. So one of the things is that, you know, the human side of this AI, where these were where the responsive campaigns started out, which is, you know, give us five short headlines, five long headlines, five descriptions, five videos, five images, yeah. Like give us all of those things. Let us run it on the network with what you've got and watch your tests to see where the performances are happening, right? So running more tests and letting that AI do its thing. There are specific matching tools in that AI that Google can help you with. I think, Performance Max is really interesting. And keep in mind, under the surface, a lot of these tools are providing matching in different ways. Like obviously these platforms, Google and Microsoft and Facebook, are not going to tell us how that works. But it is in their best interest to have it be as accurate as possible. The caveat being, you have to test, you have to be creative, you have to watch those results, you have to prioritize and adjust after that, or else you can't just go in, pop it in and walk away for 6 months and come check it again, right? That won't work. There we go. So that's the privacy sandbox, PPIDs. Yep, there you go.
And like what Facebook is doing, and not only Facebook, but I'm talking about all the social media platforms, even TikTok, Snapchat. It has updated its, just to combat the iOS changes, it has updated the way it is going to track. Facebook has introduced what is called as an aggregated measurement tool. So you can track up to 8 unique events on Facebook. And also it has introduced the conversion API where you can link, you know, Google Tag Manager, Shopify store directly. Mm-hmm. So Facebook will directly pull this data from Google Tag Manager or Shopify to get how many purchases or how many people have completed certain events on your site. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, sorry.
So I think these changes we have already, like most of us have already completed in the last year, but this is what Facebook has been trying to do in terms of getting over with the iOS, adjusted to the iOS changes. There are certain, campaign objectives such as app installs, conversions, and landing page objectives, which wouldn't send back the data from iOS users because of these updates from iOS. For that, we could like use Coachava, their Segment.io, which have updated themselves to kind of add an integration between these platforms. And that's how we get our conversion tracking or app data accurately for the campaigns.
Exactly. And I think it should be mentioned that if you are promoting a mobile app, and look, you know what, I think another thing to mention is there are a lot of ways that businesses can get mobile apps. There are app builders, there are specific apps that can be white labeled. I would suggest looking into that. If you don't already have one, you should have one. It does make a big difference. Secondly, if you are advertising on Apple Ads currently, that blocking does not apply within the Apple ecosystem. So Apple Ads, because it's on their own tenanted thing, just as if it were Google, and Android would be a similar thing, that does not strike a privacy issue, so the ATT IDFA does not apply, right, that blocking. It's only for third parties, and I think everybody needs to remember that. So you can get around that. And I mean, hey, not too self-serving for Apple, eh, if they're building their ads business. So there's a little bit of that in there for sure. The other point I would make about this is we've seen quite typically when we engage with a new client on Facebook ads, for example, we do an audit first. A shockingly large number of times, domains are not even verified in there. You're going to kill yourself. If you have an agency or if you're running your Facebook ads, you need to make sure that all of these items listed on this particular slide here are done and done properly, and you're not seeing big red flags there. Because the outcome is not that you won't be able to advertise, but your costs are going to shoot way, way up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All righty. So we can talk quickly probably about... I think one thing to talk about is really this whole notion of omni-channel marketing, right? And what does that mean? That's been a term thrown around marketing and advertising for a long time. But the idea being that don't rely on one platform for all of your sources of customer info, data, new customer acquisitions, everything. You need to spread it across several platforms and test. You need to be able to ensure that the platforms that you're using, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, TikTok, Snap, whatever it might be, AdRoll, for example, that you can connect all of that data together so you're getting that first-party data and maximizing it, because the end sum result will be lower CPMs, lower return on advertising spend, and increased ROI, all right? By enabling omni-channel, you could be, and Coachava for mobile is a great example, Apps Flyer can do it, and your third party, you pull everything in there, and then you can push things out into all of those other channels and see which ones are working most effectively, and then double down on the ones that are working for you.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, totally.
From a Facebook perspective, one last thing to talk about is the short form video content. So again, we use the short form video content at the top level of brand awareness campaigns to build audiences. And so, I mean, with a 7-day attribution window versus 180-day, you want to increase the frequency of those, increase the quality of those. And this is where, and I think it goes without saying, by the way, like the Super Bowl ad for Coinbase was a great example. Right?
Yeah.
Really creative, really simple, and it absolutely blew up. Do you guys know what that ad is I'm talking about? Did
you hear? I didn't see that one, to be honest with you.
Okay. It was a floating QR code, and the joke was that back in the 90s and I guess the 2000s, when DVD players had a screensaver and it was the little DVD.
Around. Yeah.
Okay. So this was actually taken from an episode of The Office where they were... Michael Scott is up there talking in the boardroom and they're all sitting around. And actually what they're doing is they were betting. It was a game in the 90s that used to play that it's like, where would the DVD icon go on the screen, right? So this little DVD icon box would jump around the screen and you'd like bet on whether or not it's going to hit the corner or is it going to not? Like it'll sometimes hit the corner, sometimes it would change course. That whole TV commercial was literally... Like the minute I saw it, I was like, I know what this is. But that was it was actually a meme and it was a joke. It was a really popular episode of The Office where they were actually all betting on whether it hits the corner or not. And they started cheering. That was what Coinbase did. Well, it took off for them. Like it Amazing. Literally took off. Example of, and I've got a Twitter thread from a guy that broke this down. And, you know, $7 million ad spot. You know, their site went down, but they invested in the future because they know that that acquisition, both from a memes perspective and the number of signups they got, is a hugely intelligent marketing play. But you can see that high level of engagement, that creativity, for us, we tend to use the short form video, but you've got to be creative, you've got to be engaging, you've got to, you know, it's not just, we're talking a lot about platforming here, but the other side of that is what you put into that platform can not just be something flat.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the jazz hands the content team brings.
That's it. Yeah. All right. So the reality is that third-party cookie data is going away. And if you're in marketing and advertising and you're trying to promote, you're going to have to think different. That's my Apple joke for the day.
Think different.
That used to be their tagline. But we have to change and adapt. The platforms are changing, adapting with their privacy sandboxes, providing better ways to track as opposed to third-party cookies using things like PPIDs. And first-party data is the future of your business. Take it seriously. Invest in it. Get a CDP, a customer data platform. Invest in a CRM that's properly connected so you know what your customers and your leads are doing and what that funnel looks like. I mean, this is serious stuff. And if you don't do it, you will be left behind because obviously we're not getting any, we're not turning into any less of a digital world. So
no.
That's it, man. That's all I got.
That's all you got.
That's all I got for today.
I mean, all I just see you guys digitally anyway.
That's it.
Because we're all virtual, so.
That's true. That's true, and I've upped my Hue lamps now. I can have brighter LED backgrounds.
How many computers do you have in that room?
Two. That's three screens on a MacBook Pro.
Oh, fancy pants over there.
I just had a bunch of monitors sitting around, so I was like,
why not, right?
Why not use them? Screen real estate, that's where it's at. All right, everybody. Sachita, Stacy, thank you again. I will not be here next week.
Yes,
I will be in Punta, Canada, in the Dominican. So the inmates will be running the asylum. And
it's going to be the DeSantis show.
We're going to have the DeSantis castle and one other person show. I'm not sure who they've got planned.
Paige.
Oh, Paige will be on. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, next week we will be talking about do's and don'ts for small businesses on social media. Some very practical, tactical things that you can do with social media that we've learned from being in the trenches.
Yeah.
So, thanks, everybody. I will actually see you in 2 weeks. I've never done this before, so we'll see how my ADHD/manic. We'll see how manic I get being gone for 2 weeks. But I know that everything will be in good hands because the team is great. Thanks everybody for joining us for episode 216 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. We will see you next week, same bee time, same bee channel.
Peace.
Oh, and the dogs are barking. Who let the dogs out, Stacy?